Hey guys, welcome back to the 503 for the Fans podcast. It's Noah here. I got a lot to go through this episode, so bear with me today. It's going to be episode 2 of Offseason Edition. I'm going to be going over day 1 and day 2 of free agency. But before I get started, I recently sponsored with a site called NBA Top Shot. It's a site where you can buy, sell, and trade the best NBA moments and collectibles of the best NBA highlights. If you're already into things of buying and selling and trading, definitely check them out at their site at NBATopShot.com and check out their Twitter at NBA_TopShot. Well, before I get started into this, it was a very eventful day for the Blazers. One thing I would have to say, it was unexpected in ways. That's always unexpected with the Blazers. They're a really quiet team. They don't tell people about their business. They don't leak stuff. So you don't really have an idea, a full idea of what they're going to do. But yes, they did a surprising thing to start out day one in free agency. They made a pretty big trade. They landed Enes Kanter from Boston. They traded Mario Hezonja to Memphis. The deal was Boston gets a future Memphis draft consideration. Memphis gets the 30th pick, which was Desmond Bain in the draft, who they drafted, and they get Mario Hezonja, and Portland gets Enes Kanter. So Portland was able to do this deal by accepting Kanter into their trade exception worth $7.3 million. So that saved them money. It gave them a serviceable backup big on a cheaper deal. And this is the ultimate sign that Hassan Whiteside is not coming back. And that's a good thing for Portland. And I think there was people on the side, why not bring Hassan back? And I was on that side because I thought it made the most sense towards our financial issues. But I didn't know this deal was in play. I didn't know they were looking back at Kanter. I definitely love the move. He was the guy that helped the Blazers get to the Western Conference Finals. He was fasting. He had a shoulder injury. He still pulled through. He played great in Nurkic's absence. They wouldn't even got there without Kanter. Simple as that. I really like this move. Nurkic and Kanter looked really good with each other before Nurk went down. That was a good 1-2 punch. And yeah, I there's nothing more to say about this move than I open it with welcome arms. I'm more than hyped to have Kanter back as our backup big. It was a heck of a move by O'Shea, and that was just a start to the day where you're just like, okay, this is how O'Shea is going to be. He's going all in. He's making the right moves. That was a great move. That was the first move of the day. I actually woke up to that move and I was hyped. But the second move of the day was the Blazers signed Rodney Hood to a 2-year, $21 million deal. Second year is non-guaranteed, so it could technically be a 1-year deal. It's $10.5 million per. It was a slight overpay, I would say, in ways, but that's okay. I mean, as Portland, we're a small market team. That's what we're gonna have to deal with as a small market team. It gives Hood a chance to prove himself in this 1 year. So if he does well, then they're gonna guarantee the contract in the next season. And if he doesn't do well, then I think they may move on and not give him that guaranteed contract. So I think it's a win-win. It's definitely win-win with not having to bring back Hassan, because we would have had to pay him likely, and we would have been able to give Rodney that type of deal. So that was an overall good deal as well. I'm glad Rodney Hood is obtained. He is definitely someone you need to back as if you're Portland. He shot 50% from three before he went down. He's a crucial part to the Blazers' success. He is a proven playoff player with us. Obviously, in that Western Conference Finals run, he was the most important guy off the bench. He played that six-man role for us and really pulled through in some games. So, I mean, you have to bring Rodney Hood back, even if he's coming off an injury. I love the move. The third move of the day was probably the most questionable. You got the most heat about this, and I get the questions about it. The Blazers used their full MLE, which was $9.3 million, to sign wing Derrick Jones from the Miami Heat. It was a questionable move because it's the full MLE. You pay him $9 million when you see other guys kind of getting similar deals. It's a questionable fit in Stotts' offense. He shot 28% from three. I see all the reasons why people need to be concerned about it. I see it. But he is also a very underrated defender. I tweeted a stat last night. He was fourth in the league in three-point contested shots, which is magnificent because the Blazers were a god-awful team guarding the three. I mean, we couldn't guard the three for the life of us. He gives them a very versatile approach, like Robbie Covington. He can go one through four. He's guarded guys like Giannis in the playoffs. So I like parts of this move. I think we haven't had anyone this athletic, and I can't remember. He's a uber athletic guy who is a great finisher and rebounder. He was in the 70th percentile in finishing, which is awesome. So there's things to like about this. I think people are caught up on the shooting, and I don't blame them. I mean, I'm caught up on that. I don't think the full Emily was maybe the route I would have went. I think, but also you had to factor into that the Blazers probably had guys ahead of him on their list and that they struck out on. And that's just the something you have to deal with as being a Portland Trailblazer fan is we want to expect these big guys coming here. And I do too. And it's not always going to happen. And I know people know that, but it's hard. And I think he was more of a third, fourth option for them. And yes, I would be, I think he is capable of proving people wrong, and I think he's capable of maybe shooting 31% to 33%, and that's still low, but if he shot 33% for Portland, he would give them a great, great boost to their defense, their shooting, just overall. And he is gonna able Stotts to open up his offense a little bit. I hope Stotts is able to do that. If he's open to open his playbook, then I think this is a major plus as a signing as well. So I do like the DJJ move. I think it does have its pluses, but I do understand why people are questioning it. No doubt. And the fourth move was day two of free agency, which just happened a couple hours ago. The Blazers and Melo came to an agreement for a one-year veteran minimum deal. Melo said he felt he owed the Blazers a chance on taking a chance on him last season. So this is, for Portland, this is the final, probably one of the final moves they make. This is the move they needed. I think he solidifies their front court. He gives them a veterans aspect, obviously, like how he brought last season. He hits clutch shots. He shoots well from the corner. Dame loves him. He's a important part to that. So I think it makes Dame happy. It makes the front office happy. And I think it has its pluses. And I really do think Melo is open to anything. I think he's already came out and said he's open to, he knows his role. So I'm excited to see what Melo is going to bring to this team. It's going to be different from last year. He's not going to get as much minutes. He's not going to play 30 minutes a night. But I do really, really like bringing Melo back for this year. I think this team is the deepest roster and the Blazers have ever had. And after this break, I'll be going over the roster, so stay tuned. All right, so we are back. What does this roster look like? This roster is, like I said previously, probably the deepest roster the Blazers have ever, not ever had, but I would say ever had in my timeline. I'm born in 1998. I mean, they had a pretty deep team when they went to the Western Conference Finals with Scottie Pippen and them, but this is the deepest team I've remembered to my living days and remembrance. This is deeper than the team that went to the Western Conference Finals. This team is Dame, CJ, Robert Covington, Nurkic, Melo, Zach, Hood, Derrick Jones Jr., Gary, Cantor, Ant, Nazir. I mean, that is a deep team. That is literally 13 deep that could play. And that's a huge difference from last year. The Blazers were last in bench points last year. And they go from arguably the worst bench in the league to probably top three in the league for benches. So this is what a lot of Portland fans were talking about. Just wait till we get healthy. Just wait till we get guys back. We have the depth. It doesn't look like that because how many people are hurt, but this is what they were talking about. And Neil O'Shea went out and got some more depth, and he didn't have to lose really anything. I mean, he lost Trevor Ariza. Sorry to Trev. I mean, he's got traded like five times since we traded him, and I feel bad for him. But they traded Trevor Ariza, Mario Hezonja, two firsts, and technically Hassan Whiteside to gain Robert Covington, Derrick Jones Jr., Melo, and Enes Kanter. That is a great swap. I mean, the Blazers made the right moves for cheap amounts, so they improved the roster without making something drastic. I love what Neil O'Shea did. I think obviously the only question is Derek Jones Jr., but if he proves us wrong, I mean, this roster is going to be set, and it's going to be set anyways. I mean, the locks to start are Dame, CJ, Robert Covington, and Nurk. It could go really any other way at the 3-4. Do the Blazers feel like Robert Covington is the starting four, or do they think he is the starting three? Because if he's the starting four, I think it's between Hood and Derrick Jones Jr. who starts at the three. But if it's if they feel Robert Covington can start at the three, then I would slot in Melo or Zach Collins at the four. And this Blazers team has the versatility to match up with any team. They could literally match up with any team. If I know the Lakers are a bad matchup, but if they want to go match up with the Lakers, they can. They could put Zach on AD. They could put Nurk on whoever they're on, Trez. They can put Robert Covington on LeBron. So, I mean, the Blazers have versatility now. They can match up anyone. There's no one I'm really scared of, like, okay, we don't have a guy to guard their guy. And so that's something that is very valuable to have. And Terry Stotts has a great problem on his hands. I mean, he has 13 guys on this roster that all have a case to make minutes. I mean, Ant and Nazir, Ant had some struggles last year, but he still has a case to make some minutes. Nazir, I mean, he still has a case to make some minutes too. He's an up-and-rising 3-and-D wing. So, I mean, this is a great problem to have if you're a Blazer fan. I mean, this is the deepest team that I can even remember. Their bench is going to, projection's going to be out of this world. Knock on wood, but if there's any sort of injuries, then they have the depth to recover from that and stay afloat like they were in 2018-19 when Nurk went down and when CJ went down towards the end of the year. They stayed afloat, so they still have that advantage here. If they stay healthy, I mean, the sky's the limit for this Blazers team, and it's just the bottom line. And I'm not even saying that with a biased view, but the sky is the limit for this Blazers team if they stay healthy. Dame is in his prime. He's 30 years old. CJ is 28, 29. He is in his prime as well. They finally have Robert Covington is arguably Dame's best wing he's ever played with. I mean, you could go him and Nick Batum. Doesn't really matter for me. But Robert Covington is a heck of a wing. I mean, Nurkic is entering his prime. He's 26. He's going to be almost two years fresh off the injury. So, I mean, he's going to be 100%. He's looked like he's been working his ass off this whole entire season. So, he's been shooting with Phil Beckner, which is Dame's shooting coach. So, Nurk is in for, I think he's in for an all-star-like year. Maybe an all-star, I don't know. And we'll see how Hood and Zach recover from injury. But I think if they are shells of themselves, and I think if they are 100%, then this team has the sky the limit, like I said. And we'll be going to another short break, and I'll be answering a bunch of questions, and we'll wrap this episode up. Alrighty, and we are back. Final questions of this episode. I'll just start breaking them down and going one by one, but this is from my homie Reese. Underrated vet minimum signing. So this is tough because I don't know if the Blazers can accomplish too many veteran minimum signings. I do know they don't count towards cap, and they don't put you past the luxury tax, but I don't know if the Blazers use them because I know Neil O'Shea loves to have one open roster spot. So we'll see what they do there, but I hope this is what they do. I hope they re-sign Wenyen Gabriel on the vet min. If they bring back vet Wenyen Gabriel, this roster is even more set. They even have more versatility. They potentially have four guys that could play the five, which is just insane to me. So I would go Wenyen first. Another underrated move would be Chris Boucher, former Duck. He had a good year or two with Toronto. He showed some flashes. He showed 3-and-D potential. He would be another guy that could play the five, could guard 1 through 5, very versatile. I don't know if he entirely comes on the minimum. Maybe he does. But that would be another underrated guy I could see them going after. Another one would, this would be a guard. This would be Kai Bowman. He had a good stretch with Golden State this year. He was in a 10-day contract. He played well against Portland. He earned himself a full-year contract, and then they recently released him. But I like Kai Bowman's game. I think he could bring some toughness to our backcourt. He's a good playmaker, so I think that's another underrated veteran minimum signing. Next question, this is from Ben. What is the role for Melo next year, similar to last year? I wouldn't say necessarily similar to last year, because last year he got 30 minutes a game. He shot the ball quite a bit. I don't see him necessarily having that role. Maybe he starts and gets 20, 25 minutes a night with a really deep team. Obviously, Melo's not going to play that much as much as he did last year. I think he is maybe potentially in the role for a six-man type of role where he comes off the bench. I don't know. I can't really. The four is a question mark for me because Roko is a starting three or four no matter what. And it's just a matter of, do they feel he can start the three and Melo slides in at that four with Zach? Or does he start at the four and Hood or Derek Jones slide in at that three? So there's some questions to be asked. But I do think Melo is in for a six-man type of role, or maybe he starts and plays 20, 25 minutes a night. This question's from Broncos. Who do you think will be our nine-man rotation? Our nine-man rotation will have to be Dame, CJ, Roko, Melo, Nurkic. That's five right there. The last four, I would say, is Derrick Jones Jr., Gary Trent, Hood, and a mix between Zach and Kanter. I don't know what Zach's health is entirely looking like. I think the end of his 4 months from his ankle surgery will be in December, so he might miss time. To start out, I would say it is Derrick Jones Jr., Gary, Hood, and Kanter as our bench until Zach comes back and healthy. But I think they're going to have a fringe 9-10 man rotation, bearing injuries. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint. I think Stotts would be a little more, I think he'll be a little more easier with his rotations just here to start out with the COVID and short amount of rest. So we'll see what Stotts does, but 9-man rotation, pretty solid, will be Dame, CJ, Roko, Melo, Nurk, Derrick Jones Jr., Gary, Hood, and Zach and Kanter, which is 10, but technically a mix of 9. And this is the next question from Blazers season. Most realistic expectation on how far the team can go this year. I think I sound so biased because I'm a Blazers fan, and obviously I'm going to give them the edge in certain areas over teams, but I think the Blazers are, no matter what, top three best offseason in the league. If you have a 1, 2, or 3, I really don't care. They had one of the best offseasons in the league during this free agency. They improved the most, probably out of the West teams. Them and the Lakers improved the most. They had better offseasons than the Mavs, Clippers, Denver, Jazz, Houston. You really name it besides LA, they had a better offseason. And they could have had a better offseason than LA as well. So it's, for me, it's an expectation of, I think their floor, and this could be by, I think their floor is a second round. I think they will get home court advantage. I think they're a no doubt, bearing injuries, knock on wood, a top four seed. I think they'll have home court advantage. I think they'll have a good matchup in the first round. I think their floor is second round. I mean, if this team loses in the first round, I mean, yes, there has to be some sort of change. I don't know drastic changes, but we'll see. I think their floor is second round. I think it depends on what is LA looking like towards the end of the year next season. I think their ceiling, I think they're contenders. I would say that, and you could call me biased, but yes, I think they're downright contenders. I think they improved their team that much, but I think their ceiling could be Western Conference Finals just based off LA. I think AD and LeBron are a lot of firepower that we can't, anyone can handle. So we'll see how that goes on, but I think our floor is second round and our ceiling is finals. I don't know if we win it, but we'll see how that goes. Next question, this is from Christopher, where is Whiteside going? This is a good question. I've heard rumors of him going to the Kings. I've heard rumors of him going to Charlotte. I've heard rumors of him going to Charlotte as a done deal. I saw on his Snapchat he was recently at his house in Portland. So it's confusing. My prediction for Whiteside, the team that makes most sense to me would have to be Charlotte. I think they give him the best chance to start. And I think he would start on that team. I think he maybe would start on the Kings, but I don't know. Charlotte has, yeah, and I don't know if Charlotte even has money to get Whiteside, so I think they would have to sign and trade, which I Portland can't afford. So I don't know how that goes down. But yeah, I think Whiteside is good as gone, like I said, with the Enes Kanter trade. But yeah, I think it's either between the Kings and Charlotte. Next question, and this is the second last question. This is from Blake. Where is this team going to struggle? So that's a good question. I think this team will struggle with... I think the obvious glare is somewhat defense. I think they really need to just get a group that just play. They have that group this year. I think they just really need to dig down and just get a top 15 defensive team. I mean, I tweeted out, can they be a top 15 defensive team? And a lot of people said yes, and I believe them. I think they have the roster to no doubt have a top 15 defense. But I think they will struggle in areas on that. I mean, the NBA is at an all-time high. People are playing the best in their careers. Scoring is at an all-time high. So it's not going to be like we're just going to be shutting teams down every single night. I don't expect that. I think they will struggle on defense at times. I think they will struggle to guard the rim at times. But we'll see. And every team's going to have their struggles. But I think the Blazers are so deep at this point, and they have no holes in their roster, really, that there's not a lot of room to struggle. So last question of the day is from Dame4MVP. Do you think we will be able to acquire Andy Bunn in a sign-and-trade for Hassan? I talked about this just two questions ago. No, because the Blazers can't afford that unless they want to go in the luxury tax, which by their moves as of today and yesterday, it is obvious they're trying to avoid the luxury tax, and I don't blame them. It's COVID season, no fans, money is going down, contracts are going down. So I don't blame them for having that mentality. It's a tough pill to swallow if you're in all-in year as O'Shea, but I don't see them doing a sign and trade for Hassan. If they did, I would honestly be blown back. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about it, but I do think it just doesn't happen. And we don't have the money to take it on. I think if he was assigned for someone like for something 12 to 15 mil per, we don't really have anyone. We don't have any room to take back a contract like that. So we'll see. But this was a fun episode. I had a good time answering questions. I had a good time going over what happened. I'm excited to see what goes down to later, maybe later tonight, maybe tomorrow morning. But it's gonna be a fun night. So thank you for listening to me. Check me out on my Twitter at 503 Blazer Fans, and I'll see you guys next episode.